From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Doug Bernard reporting. Robert Mugabe has officially resigned as president of Zimbabwe, ending his 37 years in power. The resignation was met with celebrations in the streets. The 93-year-old leader had clung to power for a week after a military takeover. He was placed under house arrest and Sunday stripped of his leadership of the ruling ZANU-PF party. Many people, like parliamentarian Edson Gumbo, reacted with hope.
It's a historic event. We got a lot to learn from this and to improve on where we made mistakes and make this country great again.
Mr. Mugabe's dispossessed vice president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, is expected to be sworn in Friday as president. If Mr. Mugabe and his family leave Zimbabwe, where might they go? Joy Mabenge is with the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition.
The best for Mugabe is to go to the Far East. He has always gone to the Far East. You know, he goes to Malaysia, he goes to Singapore. It is rumored that he has investments there. There are less Zimbabweans there and not so many people who care.
Among those in the international community reacting to the resignation was Britain's Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson.
First sight, this is a moment of hope for Zimbabwe and for the people of Zimbabwe.
The U.S. says it sees Mr. Mugabe's resignation as a historic opportunity for Zimbabwe. Mr. Mugabe had been facing impeachment in Parliament. In Washington, this is VOA News. The U.S. Tuesday slapped new sanctions on 13 Chinese and North Korean organizations accused by Washington of enabling the North Korean regime as it pursues nuclear and missile capability. The action was announced after President Donald Trump put Pyongyang back on the list of state sponsors of terror. Among the groups hit are three Chinese companies that the Treasury Department determined combined did more than $750 million in trade with North Korea over a five-year period. The United Nations Yugoslav War Crimes Tribunal ruled Wednesday that former Bosnian Serb leader Ratko Mladic is guilty of genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity stemming from the conflict in the former Yugoslavia during the 1990s. The court convicted Mladic on 10 of the 11 charges that he faced, including persecution, extermination, murder, deportation, terror, and unlawful attacks on civilians. He was sentenced to life in prison. The court said Mladic intended to destroy the Bosnian Muslim population in Srebrenica, and in Sarajevo personally directed a campaign of shelling and sniping meant to spread terror and perpetrate murder among civilians. The U.S. warned Tuesday that Americans traveling to Saudi Arabia should be aware of the risk of ballistic missile attacks from Yemen. The government issued a new travel warning following an earlier Houthi rebel missile launch near Riyadh brought down by Saudi air defenses. The U.S. also said Tuesday that it wants the Palestinian Liberation Organization to keep its Washington office open, although U.S. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said U.S. law may force closure following allegations that Palestinian officials made statements targeting Israelis for alleged war crimes against Palestinians to be taken up by the International Criminal Court.
The secretary concluded that the factual record, in particular certain statements made by Palestinian leaders about the ICC, this I'm referring to comments that were made at the United Nations, did not permit the secretary to make a factual certification that was required by that statute. Mm-hmm. So he took a very technical look at this and determined that the PLO had not complied with the conditions that were set by Congress.
The office is subject to review every 6 months. And Venezuelan authorities detained the acting president of Citgo and several other executives of the state-owned oil company's U.S. subsidiary on corruption charges. In Washington, I'm Doug Bernard.
That's the latest world news from VOA.